Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Danielle Kading of WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, Tuesday was election day, mostly primaries, but there was a more decisive vote in Two Harbors.
Yes, there was. After 7 months of controversy, Two Harbors residents voted to recall embattled Mayor Chris Swanson on Tuesday night, ending his nearly six-year run as mayor. An unofficial tally of both in-person and absentee ballots with 100% of precincts reporting show that 86% of voters voted to recall Swanson, with 1,149 voting yes to recall him and only 180 voting no to keep him in office, according to the Minnesota Secretary of State website. The question on the ballot was, shall Mayor Christopher Swanson be recalled? Now, there are about 2,215 registered voters in Two Harbors. Todd Ronning, who's the chair of the Resign or Recall Committee, said the group couldn't be more happy with the results. According to the Two Harbors City Charter, the next step is that the council president will take over mayoral duties and a special election will be held during the next general election to fill the remainder of Swanson's term, which expires January 2025. Ben Redden is the council president. Recall efforts were spurred by Swanson's underwater hotel and cryptocurrency pursuits in January, which brought a slew of other potential conflicts of interest and ethical concerns to the surface. Reviews of his actions have found he violated the city's code of communications policy and was less than forthcoming with potential interests. Swanson has maintained he's done nothing wrong and refused to resign, even after the city council voted 6-0 in June asking him to. He did not attend a regularly scheduled council meeting from mid-June until this past Monday. The Resign or Recall Committee began collecting signatures to move the recall forward in March. It needed 20% or 498 signatures of the city's registered voters to sign the petition. It first gathered nearly 1,000 signatures, 735 of which were verified by the city. But the committee withdrew its petition because it had told people the signatures would be private, and it learned later that that would not be the case. In the second round of signatures garnered 618 signers, 532 of which were verified by the city. A lawsuit seeking to nullify the recall effort, which is brought forward by a supporter of Swanson against the city and the recall committee, was dismissed in June.
All right. Well, back to those primaries. There was a hotly contested one in Duluth.
Yes. Alicia Kozlowski, a community relations officer for the city of Duluth, is running for public office for the first time, and she put together an impressive campaign for a political newcomer, landing the official DFL endorsement headed into the primary election night that pitted her against Duluth City Council President Eric Forsman for Minnesota House District 8B. And on Tuesday, Kozlowski won the DFL primary and will now face Republican candidate Becky Hall, a former economic development specialist who is running for the seat again after previously losing. Kozlowski received 3,616 votes to Forsman's 2,817. Beating him with 56% support to his 44%. Both Kozlowski and Forsman were jockeying to run in place of party incumbent Representative Jen Schultz, who chose not to seek a fifth term in the legislature, opting instead to run for Congress against Pete Stauber. The District 8B seat represents the eastern portion of Duluth. Kozlowski was born and raised in Duluth, the daughter of an Ojibwe mother and a Mexican father. She is a first-generation college graduate with a bachelor's degree from the University of Minnesota Duluth and a master's degree in business administration from the College of St. Scholastica.
All right. Well, Danny, in Wisconsin, the Republican side was busy on primary day.
That's right. In the 73rd district, voters will decide between two women in the November election to fill an open seat in the Wisconsin Assembly. Angie Sapik of Lake Nebagaman won the Republican primary Tuesday with 58% of the vote, defeating Scott Lustre of Lakeside, according to unofficial results. Sapik will face Democrat Laura Gapsky of Superior in the November general election. Gapsky didn't have a primary challenge for the seat currently held by South Range Democrat Nick Milroy, who decided not to seek re-election this year. And in the 74th Assembly District, voters will have a choice between two men for an open seat in November after Representative Beth Myers decided not to run for re-election. Democrat John Adams, a farmer and political organizer from Washburn, is seeking a seat in the Wisconsin Assembly and was running unopposed. Chance Green of Grandview will be the Republican nominee to face Adams on November 8th, and he took 67.5% of the vote over his Republican challenger, John Shea of Glidden.
All right. And there was also contention at the Superior School Board meeting this week.
That's right. Dozens of community members urged the Superior School Board to keep a curriculum in place that teaches fifth grade students about gender identity. They spoke out before the school board on Monday as the district is considering an appeal to a complaint filed by a group of parents who oppose that curriculum. The group is taking aim at a 30-minute lesson plan on gender identity, and they wanted to see it offered as something parents could opt into for their children. Under current state law, no students are required to take any such instruction, but parents have to opt out of it or file a written request that their student be exempted from the curriculum. And the majority of people who spoke at the board meeting were in favor of this lesson plan. They say it fosters an atmosphere of inclusion and will keep students safe as they attend the district. You know, students, educators, and parents noted that LGBTQ students are at risk of self-harm or suicide due to bullying or stereotypes from their peers. A minority of parents and educators who spoke said that the curriculum is being passed off as fact when they say it's a philosophy or a theory being put forward with those who have a political agenda. They say it alienates or attacks students, teachers, and parents who have religious beliefs that don't align with that curriculum. The district is reviewing the appeal, and a meeting will be held at a future date yet to be determined.
All right. Well, Rick, back on the Minnesota side, there was another school board development, a long-awaited one.
Yes, it was. Duluth Public School leaders agreed Monday night to sell Central High School up on the hill for $8 million. Now, this is the Central High School is commonly called New Central, not the old historical Central School building downtown Duluth. School board members voted unanimously to sell the property to Chester Creek View LLC for slightly higher than the $7.9 million for which it was listed. Superintendent John Magus, in a statement after the meeting, said that he's very pleased the district is moving forward with the sale of Central High School for more than the asking price. He also said that it will be helpful in providing additional resources to the students and families of the school district and be a wonderful development opportunity for the city of Duluth. The building, which sits at 800 East Central Entrance and has been dormant since it was closed as part of the district's red plan, is already on its way out. Crews are removing asbestos from inside and will demolish the building this fall. The newly approved sale doesn't apply to the entire school grounds, however. School leaders are holding on to about 22 acres worth of property at the school site, on which the district is currently building a new headquarters and other central buildings. Now, this was the fourth formal attempt to sell the building since school officials mothballed it. A $10 million deal with Harbor Bay Real Estate Advisors fell through due to cost concerns in 2015. Board members nixed a $14.2 million sale to Tisher Creek Building Company in 2016 for a Duluth Edison Charter High School, and a $7.4 million sale to Saturday Properties fell through last fall.
All right. We've been speaking with Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Tom and Debbie King as Hobbyhorn. Stay safe, everyone.
There's a trail up north called Degerman Road. Winter days are cold on Degerman Road. And when the north wind blows, that is where a lost soul goes. There is fear upon the snows down Degerman Road. Josh was loading logs down Degerman Road. Was that the cold wind's cry down Degerman Road? Was it wolf or was it man? Josh heard it and he ran. Winter skies were indigo down Degerman Road.